Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I've got the one and only, the talented Scout Durwood. She's a singer and writer, director, actress, comedian, you name it. She's doing it. And so talented. Got a brand new Christmas album out called A Scout Durwood Christmas. A great singer. Let me just say, you got to check this out. I'm not just saying that. Some great songs on there. You're going to love them. I had a good time chatting with her. We covered a lot of ground. And maybe some self-help therapy sessions or something for both of us. I think it'll help you out too. Just watch. But here we go. Here she is. Here's Scout Durwood. So you are excited to be talking about a new Christmas album, right? So that's what all the buzz is about, right? New Christmas album. I know you're excited. So let's get started.
Okay.
You know, first of all, Scout. You know, when I think of Scout, I think of, well, I was in the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
But I think of To Kill a Mockingbird. And,
yes.
And the lady that wrote that was from right up the road here in from Monroeville, Alabama.
Yes,
about 30 miles from here.
That's cool. My mom was a fan and paid it forward, and yeah, I love. It's fun to have a name that has a story. I think it's a really cool experience.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, my name is Gary Cooper Stuckey. So Gary Cooper, the actor. You know,
No one can Google you.
Yeah, Google me. I don't know. You know, I got some kind of something going on Google there. You could find out a few things, you know, and some credit scores or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, but where are we? I got lost and all that stuff. Christmas album. Okay, but you're known for, now I know you do music, acting, writing, directing, you do all that stuff. You were on MTV and doing shows and stuff. But now, I know you've done an album in the past. Now, why did you suddenly decide, I guess suddenly, just, I think I'll do a Christmas album. How did you come to do it?
The dirty secret, and Kirk, I believe that Kirk mistells this story. It was his idea, I think. He claimed it was mine. Full disclosure, I had not celebrated Christmas in a decade until last year when my friend with kids bamboozled me. He invited me over for no big deal Christmas Eve Chinese food, and then was like, oh, now we got to be Santa. And I was like, what? And then I ended up having a really good time. But I'm not a big Christmas or holiday celebrator, but Kirk and I had done, at that point, he always does a benefit, a charity album for the holidays, you know? And at that point, we'd recorded two different Christmas songs. And he's kind of the mind where he goes, well, if we're halfway there, we might as well, or if, you know, we're two steps in that direction, might as well finish the race. You go, okay. So he came up with it. And now I guess it was at last year's Christmas party. And I got the idea of singing Jingle Bells, like stuck in my craw, I guess. And then we did the album. So I don't know. It, like any Kirk Passage project, it's just a magic story that has a happy ending.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, backing up a little bit now, how far back does your musical career go? Like I said, I know you did the comedy and you do music for the comedy, things like that, you know, acting and stuff like that. But when did you first start realizing that you could sing?
Well, now it was more than a decade ago, but at the time I was working in like burlesque and nightlife or cabaret. So I hosted a lot, and singing is just kind of customary. You kind of do an opening song, and I didn't have any other circus talent, I guess. And then Rent, the musical, was reviving at New World Stages, and my friend went, oh, just go to this open call. What's the worst that can happen? And I was like, oh my God. So thousands of people showed up, and it ended up, there's construction going on. Let me just close it.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a little loud over here. I am working on a show for a year, and so I live in an attic now, which is very fun. It's very fun. This is the guest room, and you're seeing a craft and project process. So it went down to two of us for Maureen, and my manager at the time kind of went, well, if you can really sing, you can really sing. And then I started singing more, and I started working at nicer burlesque or cabaret clubs, and but it had always kind of just been a party trick. Like, it was just kind of my talent. And then it wasn't until, I guess, 2015 or 16 that Kirk saw me in a like a weekend presentation of a musical about the life of Janova Magnus, who was also on Blue Ulan at the time. And he kind of went, well, what's your deal? And Dave Darling was like, what is your deal? And I was like, oh, I'm a comedian. He's like, well, you can sing. And I was like, eh, sure. But and then that became Take One Thing Off, and then Comedy Electronica. And now Kirk has been, he's been, I think, more interested in curating or like taste making. So he did One Woman Army and had me sing on it. And then the Christmas album, though the Christmas album is a much more, we really did collaborate more on that. One Woman Army was really just this fun idea, but this has been more of kind of marrying, he calls it scoutifying, marrying like a little cheeky wink to things with non-comedy music.
Yeah. Something I've thought about though, a lot of times when you hear like a comedy, a comedian or somebody, they're going to come out with an album and you think they come out with some songs and they're kind of goofy, funny. But I've been with these songs, you're a really good singer. I mean, I'm just saying it. I'm not just saying that. So I'm just saying, I'm listening. I'm like, man, she's really good. And but most of the time, you don't get that on a comedy level, right? So I think people will be pleasantly surprised. They'll appreciate your comedy and acting, but they'll go, man, because what the like the from the first song, I mean, I said, I'm gonna check this out, and and I was like, wow, you've got a lot of soul in your voice.
Thank you.
Do you have influences that you could talk about that really get you going, music wise?
Oh, that's interesting. I strongly believe that music, singing is something reserved for thoughts and feelings and words that need an extra layer. They need to be sung. So my music taste is very eclectic. I know everybody says that, but I kind of want to sing anything that feels like it needs to be sung, you know? And that could be sung for like a poppy, silly reason. I love some pop music. You know, I certainly am bored of some standards that feel like we've said what needs to be said. We can move on. But
Right.
yeah, singing for me is almost like keening. So, and I think also because it's not what I think I'm the best at, I love it, but it feels almost to me like a thing that has to be shared in order to exist. Whereas, like, as a writer, as a filmmaker, I feel very disciplined. As a vocalist, I feel like I get excited when, you know, Kirk asks me to come sing on something, but it doesn't feel like it feels more like an emotion than a craft.
And that's okay for you, right? I mean, I to be
Yeah, and
like
then
that.
I write songs called Steal Your Girlfriend, which is so like it is funny to me. I don't know. I think it's just fun. I guess I just try to have fun with it is maybe a better way of saying it.
Right, and that's the main idea. So when everybody heard that you're doing a Christmas album, what'd they all say? Were they shocked? And they're like,
Oh
she's
yeah.
doing.
My friends were like, "What?" Because previous to that, the only Christmas thing I'd ever sung was at shows. I would do a cover of or a parody of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, because I'm like just not a holiday person. But I will say sometimes not taking things not too seriously or doing things that aren't, not that this isn't my dream project, but you know, if someone said, "What's your next album?" I would not have said Christmas. But so
Right.
it got, I had a really fun time singing these songs, and I felt less precious about how I approached them because I didn't have it set in my mind how they needed to sound or what they needed to be.
Sure. Well, how'd you come up with the ideas for the songs? What songs to do on this album?
Well, Kirk Passage sent myself and Zach Darling, the engineer on this album, a 14-hour playlist. And I went,
Is that all?
I know. And Zach and I like kind of like informally split it up. And at the time I was living in the van, so I would put it on, and I had a policy of like, you can skip anything you want as fast as you want, you know? And then Zach and I kind of narrowed it down. And then Kirk really put in an argument for White Christmas with the introduction. And then, yeah, Zach and I sat down and kind of said, well, what? Like, there were a couple songs like I really like. Okay, there's a Bare Naked Ladies Sarah McLachlan cover. Oh, We Three Kings. Is it We Three Kings? A Star of Wonder, Star of Light. But he and
Right.
I were kind of like, well, I don't know what we would add to a cover of that. Like, what would we do differently? So it ended up being anything that we thought we could do differently or more simply or would benefit from my physical voice.
Right. Well, it works. I mean, whatever you did, it's just
Thank you.
I mean, really, so what Christmas song, I guess what song on this album that did you really think? Yeah, I think I nailed that one. I like this one. Which one did really stood out to you?
For me, there's a trifecta. The three that I get excited whenever they come on are, well, plus Jingle Bells, which is like, Jingle Bells is a perfectly stupid idea that I feel I flawlessly pulled off. Jingle Bells was my first, like, okay, I can do this album. But I listened to That's What Christmas Means to Me, Naughty List, and Count Your Blessings instead of Sheep. I love this moment in like a rushing waves of an album where you kind of go, well, let's just do Scout and a Piano.
Yeah.
And I love Snowman. I really looked for songs that were either just joyful, period, or were about a part of a holiday season that was more intimate than Christmas. Like just the tradition of it. So like Naughty List to me is really sweet because it's like about, I don't know, making out under a mistletoe.
Right. Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that happens at Christmas time. You know, people have memories of Christmas time growing up when they get older or whatever. And a song connects them to that time, you know, and that's what I'm thinking. And that's what's good about a Christmas album is because everybody, who doesn't love a good Christmas song, right?
You listen to a lot of Christmas music?
I like it. I do. I mean, you know what? It's like, especially, you know, growing up and my grandparents, you know, and everybody bringing the Christmas presents. And it wasn't always about the presents and everything. It's just family being there. When you have family there and those songs bring you back to that time, it's such a cool thing to, you know, to have memories and things like that. Did you have, I know you said there was a gap, you didn't do the Christmas thing. Do you remember in your childhood, was there any moments in Christmas in your childhood that you reflect on if you do any of these songs or anything that you can say or want to
Well,
say?
I think for me, this is like a redeeming Christmas. My parents got divorced, and Christmas was sort of always the time of year where, boy, did we all try to make it work and just could kind of never pull it off. So we called a truce on Christmas many years ago. Yeah. But I will say I'm a middle child, and I am very classically a middle child in that I now get the most attention. But for a long time, I didn't. I won the long fight, long war. There was one Christmas where my mom ordered pizza and like from Christmas Eve, and I was so blown away by that because like Christmas Eve is normally, and she goes, "Well, I just thought to myself, Scout hasn't gotten live attention this year. What would she want for Christmas dinner?" And at the time, or still now, I love junk food.
Yeah,
She ordered
I do
like
too.
pizza. Yeah, right. And I thought that was a really cool move of my mom to like let that be Christmas dinner.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, everybody has a special moment. Some have turkey, others have pizza. Hey, I would sometimes, you know, turkey gets old sometimes. Sometimes you just want to go get some hamburgers or something, man.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, you know what? I think the big thing is having the family and the friends around and sharing that moment. And but a lot of fun songs on here, though. I mean, it just sounds like you were having fun singing them. It sounded like you were smiling. You know,
Yeah.
I think that's another thing when people listen to it. You know, music is universal, and especially in Christmas, you know, and the message behind it and everything. But the fact that you're, you know, positive and you're smiling, there's people all over the world going through troubles this time of year, and to bring a smile to their face, I mean, that's a big deal, I think, to me. So I think that's going to happen with your songs. I mean, that's what I appreciate about it. I mean, it's not just some songs that they threw together, and it's not, you know, great. It's just like, I mean, you can tell you took time to do these songs, and you did them well. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I want people to understand, you know, it's not just one of those kind of albums where, you know, oh, well, another Christmas. It's not just another Christmas album. Really good stuff. I'm just saying. Have I said that before?
No,
I'm not just saying.
That means the world. I mean, I think when you record something, you never know how it's going to get translated. But I will say one of my big policies is like, if I don't enjoy doing something, it's unlikely that I'm going to continue to do it. And so even in that booth, I mean, or in the, I'm in the booth, they're in the big room, the recording studio.
Right.
We did have a policy of like, if it makes any of us laugh, it gets to stay on the album.
Oh yeah. That's good.
Our percussionist in particular would come up with these funny jingle bell things, and he'd just do a whole, you know, you just do a whole take of him with like different jingle bells doing these weird little things. And we'd all kind of sit in the inside and laugh at him and go, all right. But, you know, we had a good time.
That's cool. Yeah. So it's always fun to do something like that. So I'm guessing that was, the process went pretty smooth as far as recording everything. But no issues or anything, or it's kind of, how hard was it to record?
All the songs kind of varied, and some of them we kind of, with me, were like, well, let's get through it with the band. And then, so we kind of got through everything. And then there were some parts where I was like, we'll figure out my vocals, or where, what, you know, how big do you want it to sound? And then we sat down with just Sasha, who's our pianist, and did a piano only version of, or we did the beginning of White Christmas, Snowman, and Count Your Blessings. And that was like a very, it was nice. It was like very intimate. And then afterwards went back and like looked at all my vocals and kind of went, oh, let's try this, let's try that. So it felt, it was like so painless and pretty fun.
That's good. I mean, you know.
No, like no drama. Ooh,
yeah, is that bad? That's, you're not supposed to have drama making a Christmas album. You're not supposed to, you know, punch each other and, you know, I hate you and storm out of the room. Merry Christmas to you.
One of my favorite parts is when everybody else gets to start listening. Because I've had these tracks now since, I mean, off and on since April. We recorded at the end of April, so I probably got them in, or mid of March. Yeah, in March. But so now it's nice that other people have heard it. Because, like, for so long, I was just walking around going, giddy up, jingy horse, pick up your tootsies. And we're like, what? Now you can be like, wrong.
And now they understand. They just have to listen to the album. And they will enjoy it. How do you prepare for an album as far as singing? I mean, you know, I know your voice, you want it to be in tip-top shape. Do you ever do any, like, exercises for vocally or anything? How does that work?
It totally varies. I wasn't super trained, and then I had a lot of vocal damage because I was singing in bars and I was a drinker, and I still am, but you eventually kind of go, oh, I'm not going to live forever. Like, let me. So when I started the show I'm on now, I started taking voice lessons just because I didn't have the endurance. For this album, recording in a studio is very, very different than singing on stage. So for me, for this one, the preparation was more mental. I also wasn't performing live a ton of the time, but like, yeah, I mean, I live for Throat Coat Tea. I love a Slippery Elm moment always. And then I think I don't ever chase perfection with my vocals. I try to take it, to care about it a lot, but not take it too seriously. So when I do like step outs or big riffs, I mess up as many as I get right. And I don't ever feel like, idiot. I feel like the notes are just coming out of you.
That's good, because I'm the opposite. I overthink. I'm like, stupid idiot, you messed that up, jerk. You know, I'm over there fighting in a corner with myself going, but I mean, because I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist, but I think I'm like, I worry about what other people think, like, probably too much, and I shouldn't. And that's just one of my bad habits.
For me, it depends on what the art is. One thing that's nice to be about music is I'm not super, like, I'm not very compositionally literate. I don't understand. I understand a ton about vocal stuff and like keeping my voice strong and all that. But I had Zach Darling in the booth going, "We got it, we don't got it." And then I could go back and go, "Hey, I can do that better," or, "I want to try that bigger or smaller." But I personally think something is lost when you don't have that collaboration, because there's stuff on some of my albums that I've done that I still disagree with or I don't like listening to, but it doesn't mean it's right or wrong.
And you're okay with listening to it? Because I'd be a little cringy. Like, I should have changed that. Why
It depends.
didn't I change that?
It totally depends. But I told a friend who was complimenting a song from One Woman Army that I don't think I nailed. And that's one I just don't think I nailed. And I said, I was like, I'm still subconscious about that track. And so it means the world to me that you're finding joy from it. And that's enough. So I don't know.
Well,
Maybe
good.
I should be more perfect. I don't know.
That's good. Well, with each song that you did recording this album, though, did you go back as you listened to it? Did you have like a little review and you were like, "Nope, I'm not doing that."
We did it kind of track by track. I mean, the priority first was the band. Also, we were on a really tight schedule because I had this show coming up. So I was like leaving town. So we knew if we didn't get it, we didn't get it. So when I was recording with the band at first, like I'd make huge mistakes and then kind of like tra-la-la my way through a verse. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause some of the way the lines scan or whatever. But so at that point, the music that we recorded was really joyful. And then I could go back in and like really just focus on my vocals. But nothing, we didn't really. Well, the intro to White Christmas rhythmically is really weird. And also, it's not recorded very often. So it was hard to figure out that like melody because it doesn't really exist. And then
Sounds good.
Snowman was really hard. Sia's vocals are so hard. And I love Snowman. Originally, that was my favorite song. And it's still my favorite story on the album. But man, her vocals, like what she does is so particular. And it's hard to do it without imitating her. P.S.
Yeah.
She's impossible to imitate.
Right. And that's when you got to make it your own and do your own thing. Right. But as you're recording and everybody was there, did they kind of say, "Hey, this sounds pretty good." They give you some encouragement as far as that goes. Are they some of your best supporters, or are they picky? Are some of those guys picky when it comes to some of that stuff?
They're not picky, but I like being these guys are all super supportive. Zach Darling's, what is he, his uncle? Yeah, his uncle Dave Darling, who has been my producer on my other albums, except for One Woman Army. He gives me a hard time and I really like it. Like, it's almost like a sports coach where it's like,
Yeah.
nope, I can do it again. And you don't ever feel like idiot, but you do feel like, oh man, I gotta do it again. But I like working hard and there's a sense of accomplishment afterwards. For me, it works, a little bit of tough love.
Yeah. In all honesty, I think it works for everybody if they think about it, because you don't want anybody blowing smoke on you, you going, "You're great," and then they go, "This sucks." And
Right.
then you look like a fool. But I mean, because you're not going to hear every little thing that you do wrong, but they're going to hear it and they go, "Maybe you need to," but there's a nice way of saying it without, "That sucks." But I mean, a lot of times, when you have people around you that encourage you, but at the same time, yeah, they give you criticism, constructive criticism. I think those are the best people to be around. Those are rare people, because most people in your little circle that they don't like to tell you the truth. They want to. They'll wait till they walk out the door. I don't like that. Like, gotta keep it honest, man.
So I learned that pretty early on that like to be thick-skinned enough to be able to hear, they're not criticisms, they're notes. And even like I do work as a director a lot, and you learn with actors, some people you have to kind of manipulate a little bit, and some people you can just say, do it again. Some people you have to go, I loved that. That was incredible. Just a thought, what if we try a different color, as opposed to kind of going like that wasn't it, one more time. So I think being on all sides of it helps me go, if I was garbage, I wouldn't have gotten the job. Like, I'm here. The only thing I can do right now is do it the best I can.
Right. And that's a good way to be. I mean, at least you are on the different sides of things. And, in being a director, you can kind of see from a different perspective and maybe, not be so hard on yourself or them, vice versa, because you understand more. I think everybody needs to be in different spots and different roles so they can understand more about. So how harder is it to be a singer as, say, a comedian or an actress? I mean, I'm just saying there's different ways you do things. Do you look at it as, I know you were describing it earlier, but as far as the hardness of it all, is it more difficult task maybe to sing than to act or direct or something?
I think the gift singing has and music has is it's something you can do by yourself and you can still have that beautiful catharsis, even if it's just for you. With acting and with comedy, I know over COVID, one of the things that was so hard for me is like, I'm a pretty goofy dude, and I'd be around the apartment with just me and my dog, and I'd be like, well, that bit was wasted. No one was here to witness it.
On it. You should have, you should leave like your phone recording at all because you never
Oh,
know.
man. I think social media is, or I don't even want to say social media. I'll say the way media is consumed. Comedy now is, I've really backed away from stand up and I don't identify as a stand up anymore because I think it's become really incessant. And that's not joyful for me. So, like, to be a stand up comedian now is you have to be posting, like, it really is to be very active on the internet, whereas for me, I just don't take joy from it. So I've kind of gone, well, that's maybe not my jam anymore. Acting I love, but boy, is acting a rare job. Even on, if you do book a big movie, such a little part of what you're doing is actual acting. I've enjoyed being in this live show that I'm in right now, and it's made me kind of go, maybe I want to go back to New York and do theater. And you're like, shut up. No, you don't. Like, but I think I have big emotions as a human, and getting to do things that give those big emotions context is a really big gift. If I don't sing most days, I get stuffed up. But I also, it's not, I don't want to be Elphaba on Broadway because that's a sport. It's a beautiful sport, but like those are vocal athletes. I don't know that that's what I want singing to be for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. If someone was like, hey, you're Elphaba, I'll be like, where do I sign? But,
You're right.
that takes something you love into like I love shooting hoops, but I don't know that I want to be in the WNBA.
Well, yeah, I thought about it too. Yeah.
Being
I
in
mean,
the
in the
NBA.
WNBA, I thought about, wearing a wig and no, I haven't thought about that. Not this week anyway, but no, I'm kidding. Hey, or have a next on Gary's. No, I'm kidding. But I did, but playing basketball when you're younger, you have dreams. You think you're going to be, I was going to be like Larry Bird, play for the Celtics, right? But, and I was pretty good, but you don't think about all that time away. You got to do, you have to practice, you have to run. Not a big fan of running up and down the court. I love shooting ball. I'm just saying, and now that I overthink all the time, I can talk myself just about out of anything.
But there's a joy. So like I played soccer in college. I have not touched a soccer ball in as long as I can remember. I do not enjoy touching a soccer ball, but I love playing basketball because I'm not that good at it. Like I am good at it, but I played in a league in LA. Oh, I miss that now. Oh, that just made me miss it. But it was fun because like one time I'm a real Dennis Rodman on the court. I'm a great rebounder, I'm a great defender, but I'm not hoops.com. So I've scored a three-pointer one time and the ref went, nice. And there was something
He was shocked. He's like, "What is this?
Yeah. And
What
there's
happened?
just something like so. I think one time I got like a double double or a triple double or something. And I was
Oh,
like,
wow.
what? And our coach was like, oh, you got whatever. And I was like, whoa. So singing to me is, I feel you know, I'll beat myself up for not being successful in all kinds of places, but singing for me, I feel really lucky that it's something that I still enjoy, that I'm not too hard on myself for, that I don't sing a song and then go, ugh, but it didn't sell. It didn't, it's not famous enough. It didn't. Whereas with my scripts, it's hard to write a script and then put in development and then it doesn't go. Singing to me is much more like it's just a gift, no matter how big or small.
That's good. That I like that answer to that. Well, singing is like a part of you. It's like your personality coming out, your heart coming out through your vocal cords. I mean, it's like acting. You're an actor. You're pretending. You know, this is really you coming out there, and to project it, it's like painting a picture. It's like writing. You write. You paint a picture with words. Singing, you paint a picture. You know, vocally, and then when people can see that picture, you know you did a great job, especially when they're smiling at the end of it. And they're so is that going to be something? I mean, have you just sat down in your attic there and now have you sat down and just looked at everything and said, I'm going to scope this out? Have you thought about the new year? You got Christmas coming up here, and you're having a great time right now. Thought about the future, about what you're going to do musically, or or
Well,
whatever.
musically, I feel like, you know, Kirk, he does though. He comes up with ideas and then goes, Scout has an idea. And it's like the opposite of what men are supposed to do. Take my idea.
Right.
Kirk
Exactly.
has an idea of what he wants to do. He wants to do another co cover album of Torch songs. And I feel really excited about that. But I will say, I sat down with Zach Darling and kind of said, at this point, I would like to hone in a little bit more on what is my style. I am a vocalist. I don't speak music fluently. So I really would like to, on this album, make it a little more signature. Also, what I like most about these is making the visual elements of them. Like, if you were to ask me what I want to do for the rest of my life, it's to be a filmmaker. And so, like, we are pitching a visual element to the Christmas album, and because of this job, I can't do another, like, take one thing off for Utopia because I just don't have the time. But yeah, most of my future plans right now are about what I'm working on as a writer. But yeah, we have this Torch Song album coming out, and I have a live show that again got put on the back burner because of this, but is finally, now that this show's more stable, coming back out. So I'm excited. I also am enjoying being calmer and more stable in my life. I think when you're young and you go, I'm gonna be famous, that's like a really cloudy place to live in, and it's hard to feel good about yourself. I still struggle with feeling good about myself, but
Really?
oh yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't get me started. But anyway,
Yeah,
now
yeah, yeah.
do you ever look back though? I mean, because I've done this too. Because in you live off of the excitement and the hype of what you've done, and you go, that was pretty doggone cool, that MTV thing, or whatever it was. And then when it kind of fades or dies down, you kind of get bummed out and go, do you try to keep yourself coasting up here and not have any lows? You got to keep stuff going, or you'll be like down here going, there ain't got nothing going on. These days, it's easy to get in this little rut of depression because you don't, and that's what's good about you. You got about five or six things you could do, at one time, right? You could do this and that. I'm just saying, but you try to coast along and try to keep things going so you don't get into a
Yeah.
rut.
That's a nice way of putting it. I do get really butthurt about stupid things, though. Very rarely am I upset about the big things. Like, I feel like I've done a lot of work. I read a lot of
Yeah.
books. I wake up in the morning and say a mantra or intention or whatever, most days, if I remember. I don't know. I would love to just coast up here, but I have big feelings and they go in whatever direction they want to go in. So sometimes I just go, all right, buddy, we're sad today. Or over COVID, when I had a really hard time putting my emotions in the right places, just because I lived alone the first year, it was so intense. Then I moved into a van, totally normal.
Was it down by a river? No, I'm
I
just saying.
wish. If I'm
There.
lucky, can't afford the river van stuff.
Oh, darn.
But that first year, it was like, okay, today's a crying day. And then it would be like, you have to take a Zoom or you have to answer the phone. And I'd be like, oh, I guess I'm crying. And you'd go, okay, can you answer the phone crying? And then kind of learning that those feelings aren't going to go anywhere. It's just a matter of like, what can you do while crying? And sometimes, like, since I moved here, it's been really, I've been much more isolated than I'm used to. And it's really freaking hard. So I had one day where I just went, okay, you can cry all day in bed. And then I finally was like, hey, your dog needs to go out. How would you feel about crying on the beach? And I was like, okay, I can cry on the beach. And I was like, you can keep your sad music. You don't have to smile. Like,
So you have these conversations with yourself a lot.
Oh, aggressively.
Do you ever argue with yourself?
Absolutely.
In a public place? At McDonald's
yes.
or something?
Oh, I'll go to the grocery store and be like, oh, we should get broccoli. Oh, but we didn't cook it last time. Are you going to eat the broccoli? Like, I am so riding the line between eccentric and scary lady. Sometimes I'll leave the house, especially after living in the van. I'll leave the house in an outfit. The other day I went to get my haircut and I forgot to change out of my slippers.
At least you wore clothes. You did wear clothes, though, right?
I did.
That's all that matters. You know, just no slipper, you know, whatever. Go barefooted. Just have on something.
Yeah, as long as my butt's covered, yeah.
I don't know. Have you been to Walmart lately?
Are there people nude?
No, you're liable to see anything. You know, people come in, they wear whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. There's no dress code.
Nope. Not in Walmart.
it's just a sad thing, you know, talking about that, though, that, you know, everybody faces that. That's why, like I said, it's so important for music and positive Christmas music this time of year.
Yeah.
People get in those little ruts, and you're talking about talking to yourself and, you know, and encouragement. Well, the music, you know, it encourages you. You know, a lot of in the songs, you know, you listen to it and there's people, they're having a party, they're getting together. That's the main thing. They're not always, sometimes it's okay to be alone and reflect and be sad and cry. But a lot of times you need to get with people and have a reminder that you're okay and they appreciate you. And at the end of the day, you need to go to bed with a smile on your face and say, I did good today. Because you never know what's going to happen.
I do think being a good person is the ultimate like kibosh to compare and despair, because if I look at anything I've accomplished in my life, and I am on stage, like I'm often on stage, right? So people do have experiences with, like I do get to have experiences with more people. I have an audience frequently, but like last night, one of the bartenders at the venue I work at right now, she works in the back bar. She had her birthday and we just had a little talk about like feeling special or feeling like each other's special. And I think when you feel down about yourself, it's important for me to go, well, I'm not going to listen to my own thoughts today. I'm going to hear what other people have to say. Like that one song that my friends were like, oh, we're listening to it. You sound so great. And rather than go, no, I don't, here's what I did wrong. And just to go, I'm going to hear that brought you joy. And why would I shut down something that brought you joy?
Right. I do that a lot. You try to correct yourself because you know everything about you. They're seeing all the good points, but you know every little flaw, but that's not, your goal is not to point that out every 5 seconds. Some people, and I totally can relate to that. I mean, I really can. I mean, it's like, you know, because I overthink. I got ADD and all that stuff, you know, but I'll overthink and I'll go, I should have done this. I'll reflect on things I should have done. But you know what? I can't go back. I can't change anything. I think that's the number one thing everybody needs to do is go, you can't change it. You can change the future, but you can't change the past. You can do something about tomorrow.
And that the difference between having made the right decision or the wrong decision is very often just how you feel about it. Like, in terms of living here or living there, there really isn't, like, wherever you live is the right decision if you're happy that that's where you live.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I mean,
you could look at the negative reasons and go, but kind of you're going to waste time. You're going to waste time. You're going to spend 30 minutes going, it's like Debbie Downer or something, you know, yeah. Like, all right, yeah, but you know, you can't look at it. And man, I sometimes do that. And I'm a positive son of a gun.
You seem really positive.
I am. But sometimes, you know, it's like the little voice that, you know, you, the guy, you know, you're talking to you, hey, you're stupid. I mean, yeah. you get that. And it's like, sometimes you're like, need to tell that guy to take a hike because that's hurting you. That's like, just, it's like cutting yourself, you know, and bringing pain. Why would you do that? You know, why would you bring pain to yourself? You need to be around people. But what I say is, in everything that you're doing and the art that you're doing, when you get a positive, when you get positive feedback from people, I think that's what I'm seeing about you, is you've got all these things going. And when people are positive to you, you feel good about it, because that's what art is. You know, that's what every aspect of the art that you do, that's for somebody to sit back and go, wow. And I think somewhere, and I'm the same way, like as a little kid, I like to draw, like to, you know, I play music and stuff, but I always thought, I want people to appreciate me. You know, you want to hear it from somebody else. And that's good. Because, you know, you could tell yourself you're good or bad, but that don't really matter. Yeah. It's what people think. I mean, I know you can't overdo it with what people think, you know, all the time about it, you know, but you know what I'm saying.
I don't ever read reviews of stuff I do. I just decided that's not a productive thing for me. I read one review a long time ago of Mary and Jane that I really disagreed with, and that was very critical of me. And I called my friend who, she had written a book, and she ended up having, she got really obsessed with reviews. And she sat me down and was like, went through what she went through. And it was really a helpful reminder of, whatever you're looking for, you can find it. So just,
It's true. It's true. It's like social media or something. It's like, you know, like I have YouTube channels, and if somebody says something negative, there's always going to be some jerk out there that's not going to like you, and they're going to say something, and then they're going to get a bunch of people to agree with them. Hey, have a party. But that doesn't matter, because that's another thing. If the majority of people, especially the people that matter, care and they're happy with you, doesn't matter what all those negative people say about you. You know, it's like they're just there to be the Grinch, like you were talking about. You know, they're there to do their little job. They're miserable in their life. They're miserable, or they wouldn't. You know, and that's just how it is. But I think the whole point of everything you do musically and acting and stuff is to make yourself happy and make other people happy. And when you accomplish that, you're doing a good job. This album though, it's like you want to get a hot cup of cocoa, even though it's like 70 degrees here in Alabama. But I mean, the marshmallow world, you know, I hear Dean Martin singing that every year. I love it.
Marshmallow World was my favorite Christmas.
Great job. Great job, by the way.
I'm really proud of that one.
So that was your favorite one? So
Marshmallow World and Christmas in LA were recorded for the different Christmas benefit albums that Kirk had done. So Marshmallow World was actually recorded a while ago with Dave Darling, produced that. And I got asked to sing on the Christmas album, and at that point I was pretty like middle finger to the world. So we were like, I don't know. So I was like, I want this song to be like a little girl holding a knife. Like I wanted to be totally eerie, and that's not where it ended up. But like being in that booth and kind of going with Dave, and he was like, oh, why don't you try, you know, do a little, we just did a pass of like what ended up being like that little voice that goes, hello, winter, that like squeaky little voice. Like, we just had a lot of fun and adding the opera to it. I think what I like as an actor getting to work with a director, or as a singer getting to work with a producer, is getting to pitch ideas that are like wrong and then going, oh, that didn't work. And then having someone like Dave or whatever to go, try this. And you go, what? Okay. You know, where he was like, just talk to yourself during the song. And you go, I don't know. But then there's those cute little like, I've been waiting for you.
It ain't it fun, but And to have somebody like that, though, that's kind of, you know, going along with you, that really makes the album, right? When you got somebody really sees things and can work with you and do things like that, you know, is that, would you say, I mean, as far as this project, has this been the most fun that you've had in a long time, or how, what would you say?
That's interesting. It's definitely been, maybe, I'm trying to think. It's definitely something that I'm really excited to share. I think because it is Christmas and I live like a kind of unconventional life. So it's nice to do something like Christmas that is more universal, at least in the Western world. So yeah, I'm kind of excited I got in there. We just got playlisted. Spotify did like a Christmas music nearly. And my song is between Alanis Morissette and Cher. And it was like a cool, like,
that's cool.
We're all just recording some Christmas tunes.
Everybody's having fun singing Christmas song. Yeah. I like the Sweater Blues song. I found that very amusing. Did you ever have a Christmas sweater?
I did not. I wish. I have two sisters, and we had the Christmas dress, and there was always like a hand-me-down situation. And I was in the middle, so I was always paired with one. Like, if we had two dresses, I was always wearing one of them.
Sure. And it was the ugliest dress ever, but you were proud.
I was pretty tomboyish as a kid, but I loved, we'd go to this store called the Plaid Elephant.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah. And pick
a lot
out
of fashion.
Like, what? Okay.
Hopefully nobody called you the Plaid Elephant whenever you wore the sweater. There's the Plaid Elephant.
Yeah.
White Christmas. I love Rise Up Shepherd. I love that. That's a traditional kind of song. I love those. You know, and I'm picturing like the old Christmas plays. Were you ever in like a Christmas play or anything like that back in the day?
I did like Christmas choir. I always wanted to play baby. Wait, when did I want to play? Not Baby Jesus. I don't remember. But I never did like a church. Wait, did you? You're from the South. I feel like that's. Yeah.
I was a shepherd. What? Shepherd? Mostly shepherds. Had a bathrobe or something. You know, we went all out, you know, had the little cane and the. It was our chance to be, you know, that was the closest to Broadway they ever got. But it was fun. But you know, talking about the memories, though, you hear in these songs, though, and like I said, though, you attach that with memories. And I've just been thinking about, you know, all the negativity in the world, all the sadness. We don't need to focus on that too much, you know, or at all. We need to fix what's broken and not try to break each other down. And making people smile is a good thing. Understanding people and listening is good. I'm a decent listener myself, but I do like to talk and run my mouth. So got to balance it out. So what now? The what kind of reaction has the album? You said it was on Spotify, but have been posting it everywhere and got a lot of it out there. You've been doing interviews and things like that. It's been going pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's still early. I think that I'm curious to see what happens after Thanksgiving. What happens? But it is a pretty low stakes album for me. Like, you know, just getting it out there is what's cool, and it'll be around forever. So Christmas stuff is cool because it kind of has like a month or 2 months where it's everything, and then every year that 2 months doesn't change, as opposed to a lot of stuff which will maybe have a longer like instant shelf life, but then it won't, you know, every year Christmas happens every year.
Somehow it works. Hey, you know, every year though they keep bumping up Christmas earlier, like you'll see they're putting up the Christmas tree in October.
No.
So maybe they'll just play your music all year round and we'll all just leave up the Christmas tree all year. Yeah. And listen to everybody will sing Christmas music. It'd be really cool. Well, I thank you for talking to me today about this. And like I said, I'm not just, you know, I'm not lying to you when I say I really enjoyed the music. You're a very talented singer. I'm just saying, I know you're an actress and writer and all that stuff, like I said, what I heard there, that if I was you, I would take what I said, because I, you know, because what I say matters. I'm like E.F. Hutton. I'm saying, I'm just, no, not really, but I'll pretend. Nah, but honestly, I hope that people really check this album out. I'm going to be promoting this video and your music. And hopefully people will check it out, and you'll be like all over the place, and they'll really appreciate it. But the number one thing is, I think they'll smile when they hear this, and I think you will too, when you see their reaction. And I appreciate you. Thank you for chatting. I had a good time. I could talk like forever.
Yeah, this is really fun. Same.
Just, you know, if you want to chat,
we can just talk about anything.
Just anytime. Just let me know. I'll be here, you know.
Yeah.
Hanging out. Just let me know.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much. This was really nice. Thank you. Have the best afternoon.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to Scout Durwood. She's got that new Christmas album. You need to check it out. Once again, at Scout Durwood Christmas. And check out her website, scoutdurwood.com. And until next time, everybody, whatever you do, keep the music real.